couldn't help as I was sitting here looking over the congregation, thinking about the things that have gone on in the past and faithfulness of people. And I look over here on the side and I see Brother Roy and Sister May with us. And inspiration to me, so thank you for being here tonight. Thank you to all of you, but it means so much. One portion of scripture that has meant much to me over the years. Many years ago, I went to a little church in the state of Ohio. Counting my wife and Bonnie, who was just a little baby at the time, there were 15 of us at that church. I was called to be pastor there. They tell me that about 20 preachers had turned down the job. They said that one man had written and said, well, he always felt that if you're going fishing, you would go fishing where there were some fish, and he didn't feel that there was any opportunity at that particular place. The thing that struck me when I walked into that church, it had been an old schoolhouse, right down in the front, were these words from Psalm 19, inscribed in old English letters with the lighting in back of it. Simply this, Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The years that we pastored there, we saw the church grow from that 15 people to about 375 people. The field was ripe unto harvest. I'm not saying that we did it. Don't misunderstand me. But there was an opportunity to present the word. Tonight my message is simply this. The light still shines. The light still shines. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway. It shows us a way to a better life right now, and certainly points us to life to come. In that same 119th Psalm, verses 129 and 130, we read these words, Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. In a recent conversation with someone who was attending college, I heard the individual start talking about many things, you know, just starting in big terms and things that were beyond me. And I asked the individual, I said, after you've said all this, do you understand that which you have said? And by the expression on the individual's face, I could tell that he really didn't understand. He had heard these words, and they really hadn't gone into his life to where he could apply them. And so tonight, I would like you to think in terms of what this light can do for you. I guess we prepare messages together. You notice the tenor of our message this morning and the tenor of this message tonight. We need to realize that there are many instructions and many instructors in this life. Everyone has a formula for the good life. We have the instructions and we have the instructors. But if the instructions do not make sense, it doesn't make any difference who the instructor happens to be. When you get down to the basic issue, I had a little experience the other day. I had another vehicle and a door key was missing. And I went to a place and they got all the numbers together. And it was supposed to be official, you know, certain numbers to make a certain key a certain way, and all the numbers are punched in there and punched out. And put the key in the door. On one side, it would not open the door, and the other side, you just stuck the tip of the key in there, and it would open anything. So someone had put something down that just wasn't the way it was supposed to be. So that means then you get a locksmith to tear everything to pieces and put it back together, and then you have a lock again. And so it is, the reason I use this illustration, I believe that we need to know, in a sense, the numbers on the key. And we know that the key then is the Word of God. And back of it all is God Himself, because God is the author of it all. We believe that God is not alone the God of today, nor is He just alone the God of the past, but God was, is, and always shall be. That's a little bit different than humanity, isn't it? And it's a little bit different than the things that some people say are right and true. God was, is, and always will be. We know this through the Word of Life. The Word is still, remains the lamp unto our feet. The light still shines. It is still the Word that gives us light and shows us how to live. I talked with a young man just today, and this young man was talking about, he says, if anything goes wrong, it happens to me. And I said, now wait a minute. I said, just because you have a few troubles doesn't mean that you have all the troubles that could possibly come on you. You haven't experienced life yet. Well, he said, if the way things are now is the way it's going to be, I don't know what it's all about, whether I want to keep on going or not. And at this particular time, I was privileged then to talk to him very straight and plain. I didn't quite preach tonight's sermon to him, but I used a little bit of it. Let him see that there is something in this life that other than that which is set forth by the general trend of our society of today. I believe that when the man whose name was a man who was following the Word of God, a man of the past who sought to know the Word of Life, he came to, according to, and I'm going to have you turn with me, to the book of Luke. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, to the second chapter. The man was a man of God who sought to know God's will. His name was Simeon. And when Jesus was was taken to the temple to do for him after the manner of the law, of Simeon it says, in Luke 2 and verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That thought of consolation was the matter of smoothing over and making everything right, and salvation, waiting for the fullness of the redemption of Israel. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost of the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was led there to the temple, and according to verse 30, he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He said, let your servant depart in peace. He was ready to die now because he had seen the light. He had seen the light of the world. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That quotation there is from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, the 6th and 7th verses. And so Simeon saw the fulfillment of that word. And I emphasize this because I see that as Simeon saw the fulfillment of the word in Jesus Christ, so then we in anticipation can see the fulfillment of the Word of God again in Jesus Christ, because salvation, redemption is an ongoing thing where we, after all, people have through Jesus Christ conquered the world, as it were. All you have to do is read Hebrews 11. They have been able, because of their hope and because of their trust in God and because they're seeing the future through the eyes of the Word, they've been able to subdue kingdoms. They've been able, as the scripture says, that even they stopped the mouth of lions. Many things happened because of their faith. And so as this enlightenment, it was then, it is today, it is tomorrow. And therefore we can again say that light still shines. As he saw the fulfillment of the word this word of life, it renewed his hope. He said, I can depart now, I can die. I can just go to sleep because I have seen the Lord's salvation, and because I have seen this part of it, Then I can, with through the eyes of faith, see that which is to come. Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, and the 10th verse, we see this, that the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And we realize then that wherever the name of Jesus has gone, there has come enlightenment. There has come a different way of life. In fact, if you study the history of Israel itself, if Israel had not been brought into existence by our God, the people of this world, if they were still living, would be in large measure living like they are over there under the Mohammedan way of life, which puts down the life as such, makes life look so it is nothing. And so we have madmen like Hussein and all these others going around murdering, killing thousands and thinking nothing about it. But where the name of Jesus Christ is gone, there has come enlightenment. Israel's history shows that if you go back and study it, you find, I have a book that I turned over to Pastor Allen, probably in his library, The History of the Hebrew Commonwealth. It tells about the history of medicines and all the other things. And as step by step by step, God has worked with Israel, fulfilling his word. And then the greatest blessing that can come will be the healing of the nations, as the sins of the world will be wiped out by the coming of Jesus Christ and the cleansing of the world. So we believe then that as God, again, I say, as he fulfilled it in the past, his word in the past, he's fulfilling it today, and he will fulfill it in the future. We believe that Jesus Christ is that light. We believe that Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 9:2, is the one who would come to the world and touch the world and bring light and life. We believe that John 1:4 is correct, where he says that this light is come, and there are those who did not see it, but nevertheless, the light was still there. The book of Isaiah, again, the 60th chapter in the first verse, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." And so today, we do not walk in darkness. The light still shines. It's still that beacon for all of mankind. I'd like to read again. I think I quoted part of it from 1 Kings 8:56. A very, very important verse. 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and the 56th verse. I'll find it here in just a moment. But when we find that God was working with his people, and the testimony was given, testimony, a very simple testimony was given that said that God is still there. And so we read these words. "And when Solomon stood in the presence of the Lord, and he made his sacrifice, and the blessing was pronounced upon Israel." And 1 Kings 8:56, he says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." You remember way, way back there, he said, "I'm going to lead these people from this land of Egypt. I'm going to take them over to a land that's flowing with milk and honey." They allowed their own way of life to get in the way, and so they spent 40 extra years in the wilderness. But Solomon could say here at this time, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. He has fulfilled his word. He has kept every promise." The light, may I say today, still shines. And through the things which happen along the way of life, when things, when banks fail and governments fail, and when we think we have peace as we did in the past, and we come up and we still have that sense when the times are from the present. The light still shines, folks. It is still there. It is still there because Jesus said, John 9:4-5, "I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And so Jesus is the lighting presence in this day in which we live. I would like to go back then to the book of 2 Peter, to the book of 2 Peter. And I think it's a very, very important thought, because we need to, in the midst of all that that goes on around us, think in terms of that which God is doing. 2 Peter, first of all, I want to look at these words from the first chapter in the 16th verse. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. God's word is still true. He is still speaking to us. We know that he is fulfilling his word. He says, verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy or teaching, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth into a dark in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. We believe that the day will come when Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who is the star of Jacob, who will be light and life and to this world, we believe that he will come again. And though there will come into this world and have been over the years, those who would scoff. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 says, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The light of hope still shines because Jesus Christ lives. Because he said, because I live, you shall live also. Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men account slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. A day of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. It'll sneak in, as it were, upon the world. It'll be so involved in so many things it will not... I've often thought about some people say, well, Christ will just come in, dip out, you know, as it were. And I see people asleep. They wouldn't know that it happened. I heard a story. It wasn't so cute, probably. I told you this. Said the story is told about the there was a commotion. There was a bright light, and everything happens on a Saturday night. And on a Sunday morning, they noticed in the congregation that there were a lot of the people that were missing. And the preacher even came up to the pulpit, and he said, where is everybody? He didn't even know that the Lord had come, and he wasn't ready for it. So that's one of those stories. But it says here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Again, I point out very briefly and very simply that we need to be prepared for the time when the great light shall shine upon this world. Let us remember again that God's word has been fulfilled, is being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled, because there has not one promise of God ever failed. The promise of life everlasting is for all those who would serve. The promise of condemnation is for all those who will not serve. But always in all ways, God will be faithful, and he will fulfill his word. Jesus, the light of the world, will come again to push back the darkness of sin and heartache and death in this present time, and he will come again to bring the fullness of light upon this earth. I was reading as I was preparing for this, you know, there's so many thoughts that where it says we will not need the sun by day, the moon by night, but the Lamb shall be the light thereof. So let's look forward with great expectation to the fulfillment of all that the Lord has promised. May I say again, that light still shines. God is still God. Jesus Christ is still Jesus Christ. The hope is real, that our faith will bring its blessing to us in this time. And certainly, because Jesus Christ lived and died, rose again, he will come again to fulfill God's word in our time, perhaps in our time. We do not know when it will be. I want to close with a little story. Something happened just last evening. I went down to Williamston, and as I was coming out of the Winn-Dixie down there, I'm not advertising them, but anyway, as I was coming out of the store, there was a black man walking alongside of me. He looked up and he said, looks like it might rain. And then all of a sudden he said, I'm not going to complain, because the Lord sure is good. It wasn't very long we were in a conversation about the things that were going on in this world. As he got in, he had an old clunker of an automobile, He got into that car. He said, "You know, we better get ready, because we looked around here and said it could rain soon." He said, "The Lord could come sooner than men think." And we waved at one another. He went his way and I went mine. I think we need to share our faith in that way. That light does still shine. God bless you all. Amen.